This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Why does our body have spare parts? Yeah. That seems like a mistake.
God, you don't even God's need your appendix.
God's master plan.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Molars?
Yeah, we don't... Why do you have...
Wisdom teeth?
There are two kidneys, but you can lose one of them.
That's right.
That's nonsense.
Just and a liver will grow back.
Wait,
that's nonsense.
No, it won't.
No, yeah, if you cut a piece out of your liver, it'll just... Whoop,
imagine back. How much lighter we should be than usual.
Well, it is a quick weight loss.
Yeah.
Did your liver remove?
But a little radical.
I'm just saying, we could probably fly if we weren't being weighed down by all these, like... extra Jeep
yeah.
wheels.
I don't need lungs this big. I don't work out.
I agree.
It's time for Punch the Jam. Punch the Jam. Punch the Jam. Punch the Jam.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome back to another episode of Punch Up the Jam.
I'm Miel.
I'm Demi.
And we're... friends.
We sure are.
And also, Punch Up the Jam.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and also, enemies.
As of today.
Yeah, we've decided.
We're done.
Yeah.
If you have never listened to this podcast before, what do we do? I forgot.
So what we do is we take a song, we talk about it for a while, dissect what's wrong with it,
right.
Dissect what's great about it.
Yep.
And then we do a little bit of a punch up.
And what is a punch up?
A punch up is when we take a song and we just fuck it up. We ruin it. No.
Today is, I'm just going to call it now, my favorite episode.
Oh, great.
Hasn't happened yet.
Great.
But I can feel that it's going to be my favorite episode.
Same.
Because.
If you saw the title, you already know what's going down.
My dad is Woo-hoo! Here.
Papa Bredo.
We got to give him a proper intro.
Oh, we got to.
You know him from me, from the co-founder of LA Studios, from writing commercial music. It's my dad.
And we are only going to call him Miel's dad this entire episode.
You don't get a name.
So Miel's dad.
I don't want people to dox you, Dad. I'm protecting you.
I thought I bet you were going to say the co-founder of me. I was like, yeah.
If I was funnier, I would. Dad, thanks for coming
hey,
on.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
I'm so excited you're down to clown, since I feel like coming to visit me in LA is already a big adjustment from the island life. Although... you lived here for quite a long time.
I kind of did.
And you sowed your oats.
I did.
Career-wise here.
Yep.
My dad, if you don't know, wrote commercial music for commercials you've probably seen.
You're the most experienced musician that's been on this podcast.
Absolutely ever. And my dad. So what a true delight.
There you go.
This is going to be fun.
All right.
I just want to brag about my dad for a quick second.
Shoot.
Do you remember those Nike Tweety Bird commercials that like kind of inspired Space Jam?
Yes.
He wrote the music for it. Go watch them. It's well, crazy.
You're responsible for my youth.
Well, they totally inspired Space Jam, and I was a little peeved they didn't ask me to do the music for that movie.
That is very rude.
Did you get at least like a cameo in the movie or
no,
anything?
No, I didn't. And
he's Michael Jordan.
Then they used the same director for both, but no.
Not
they,
you.
Not me.
Well, if Nike's That's listening. Wait, is it Nike?
Who would have made that decision? Well, Wieden and Kennedy's the ad agency.
If Wieden and Kennedy's listening, you Portland schmucks, he'll never forgive you for what you did to my dad.
Yeah, and when you do Space Jam 2, look him up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, today is a special Father's Day episode.
Yeah.
Because, what, is it about to happen? Or just happen?
So the day that this drops, it will be the weekend of...
So it's about to happen.
Yeah, it's about to happen.
So we're saving you from forgetting.
All right.
Yeah. Call your dads.
Not only is my dad the guest, but we're doing the daddest of songs.
Oh, the most dad song of all time.
The Doobie Bros.
What a fool believes.
Dad, I am dying to hear... your relationship with this song, since you were the only one actually alive when it came out.
Yeah, I didn't have much of a relationship with it, but I did like it.
You did? Yeah. I thought you were a big Michael McDonald head.
Well, I liked him as a session singer mostly. You know, he did a million sessions.
Yeah, my dad just told me he sang background on Peg.
Well, yeah.
Real? What?
They're going, Peg! Oh, yeah.
Peg!
That's,
what?
That's three Michael McDonalds.
Peg!
Oh, I thought you were saying your dad didn't. I was like,
no,
what?
No.
That's still, wow, three Michael McDonalds.
Yeah,
that's
three Michael McDonalds, better than one.
As it should be.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're going to like
really
my, you're gonna like my punch up then. So I have a couple facts about it. Dad, knowing way more about this than I do, please feel free to jump in at any point
okay. And
correct me, because I don't like facts per se. I'm more of an opinions gal.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I know this.
So Kenny Loggins actually wrote this song.
Co-wrote.
Well, okay, yes. Co-wrote the song, but released it before the Doobie Brothers did it.
Correct.
Doobie Brothers feat.
Which is
feat Michael McDonald.
Crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you grab that version?
I did.
I don't like this as much.
I don't either.
Nope.
It sounds like the TV theme version.
Yeah! that Michael McDonald?
That is not Michael McDonald.
Nah, it's not for me.
But that's probably George Hawkins and Tristan Bowden playing bass and drums, who did George and Shannon's first demo. So there you go.
Oh, see, my dad was also a producer.
Right.
And he had this great tactic of hearing the session players on the greatest records and then just cold calling them and saying, will you do this one too?
In fact, the lead guitar player from Pig played on the same session as those two guys.
Yes. Man. My dad, like any session player that worked in the 70s, 80s, like my dad just hired.
Oh, it was great. The greatest time.
That is incredible.
Crazy? Yeah, yeah. They were all just available to do jingles because they love doing jingles because they paid residuals.
Yeah.
So you could get any of these guys.
You just had to have the gall to call the guitarist from Steely Dan.
Which I had a lot of at 30.
It worked out for you, though.
Less gall now at 67, but a lot of gall at 30.
I mean, you have a gall to do a podcast.
Well, you asked me
to. You have the gall to climb Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, you just climb Kilimanjaro.
Kilimanjaro, right.
14,000 feet of Kilimanjaro. Mm-hmm.
That's, again, more than I've ever done. It's close, though.
I do feel like I got to address that their name is the fucking Doobie Brothers, which is so funny.
It's very
they're
funny.
They're not brothers.
No.
They just smoked
Oh, they're not brothers?
No. They just smoked pot.
It was three dudes in San Jose who just like getting high and playing music.
Yep. Their roommate was like, you should call yourselves the Doobie Brothers because you're always smoking.
It literally came from their roommate? Yeah. Oh, my God.
They said we had a guy in the house who said it. And they were like, sure, great.
They had a fourth roommate that was like, you guys should start a band based on how much you smoke pot. And they did.
That's always like a great recipe for a successful band.
Yeah.
Just getting real ripping high.
Yeah, I guess.
It was one of the few non-disco hits on the Billboard 100 in 1979. My dad looked at it this morning. It was all disco.
Yeah, it was amazing. Really? Yeah, the top songs in 1979, it was like boom, 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 and then this one, and then a bunch more disco
That's
songs.
That's so funny. I would feel like 1979 disco was on the way out.
Yeah, you'd think, but it was apparently not.
When was the day disco died?
That was August 3rd, 1975. No, I'm kidding.
I was about to be so impressed.
Could you imagine? I just was like, I know a lot about disco.
I was like, Demi did more than clips this week.
Well, Saturday Night Fever was 77, so it wasn't...
Who's after that?
Yeah, it's got to
when
after
did
that.
Disco die?
Yeah, except Saturday Night Fever was not the peak of disco. Saturday Night Fever kicked disco into gear.
Ooh,
oh, so it was already in the heat of disco.
No, what I mean is that movie is what...
Brought it up.
Yeah, brought it up.
Uh-huh.
Because that entire soundtrack, like, blew up shortly thereafter.
Right.
Mm. Here's a very fun fact that made me laugh real hard. Michael Jackson once claimed he contributed at least one backing track to the recording, but was not credited. This was later denied by the band.
I think I know. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Oh, no. I would love to hear the first-hand account.
Well, I don't have a first-hand account, but my guess is Michael Jackson was a part of every number one song every year, and he wasn't that year. So he went, yeah, sang a background.
That's so funny. What I read, and this is, like, again, a long time ago, and he's dead now, so who knows how true it is. What I read is that he was kind of kidding in a very dry way, and the reporter just didn't get that it was a joke.
Mm.
Because then the Doobie Brothers said, it could have happened during the minute-by-minute sessions if only the band had thought to ask. And then they quote, he was a good guy. He was always hanging around a lot, and he did come into the studio for our rehearsals once in a while. I wish we had called him in for that, and I know he would have done it in a second, but I don't think it ever entered our heads to invite him. I don't know why. I guess because we were a band and we wanted to do everything ourselves.
Exactly.
Can you imagine if those vocals were Michael fucking Jackson?
I don't even know what that would sound like.
Michael McDonald and Michael Jackson?
What a fool believe.
Oh, that's a good Michael Jackson.
He came from somewhere back in long ago. Sentimental fool.
What a loss.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
It's just the same song, but you get like a background.
Also, like, what a world, because, you know, like, I was born in 89. This is all just, like, imagination for me.
Right.
And I'm trying to think, like, Michael Jackson was just, like, dropping into studios of bands he was not in. That's fucking tight.
Just imagine, like, you're recording a song, and it's like, hey, guys, 1 second, someone's in the studio, and it's just like, hello. It's like, oh, Michael.
Michael, how long you been in that closet, man?
I've been here for a while now. I like to hang out.
I mean, he just liked music, I guess.
I guess. He really loved the music.
And then last thing I'll say is that this did very well awards-wise. It won Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best Arrangement Accompanying Vocals, all the Grammys in 1979. Wow. Yeah, blew up.
There you go.
Kind of deservedly, though.
Absolutely.
This song fucking rips,
in
my
really
opinion.
It really does.
I can't believe you weren't into this when it came out.
The thing is, 79 is when I started, when I moved to LA and started the Jingle Company.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't attach to any specific music.
You couldn't get
I couldn't, because when you get hired to do music, you're just the music guy.
Yeah.
So today it's classical, tomorrow it's R&B, the next day it's like barbershop quartet. So you just have to stay
neutral.
Very, very fluid. Right. So I didn't attach to records like I did in the early 70s.
Oh, because you were a huge fan of Kenny Loggins, right?
I was in back in 73, 74.
Didn't
yeah.
you tell me you hitchhiked to his show one time?
Yeah, I went to college in Ohio, and on a Friday I got there. On Saturday was like the orientation.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anybody in Ohio, so I was like brand new to everything. But Loggins and Messina were a brand new band. Nobody had ever heard of them. And they were playing in Columbus, so I stuck up my thumb.
Oh, my God.
Went to Columbus.
How many miles?
An hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
And bought the ticket with the last money I had, went to the show, which blew my mind. And then after, I was going, oh, shit, I need a place to sleep. Hey, buddy, can I sleep on your couch? No. Can I sleep on your couch? Yeah, you can sleep on my floor. Okay, thanks.
Who said yes?
I don't know. Some guy.
I was like, if you say Kenny Loggins, I'm going to throw up.
And that's how I met Shaq.
No, it's just some guy that was at the show. And so I slept on his hardwood floor all night. Hitchhiked back, missed the orientation, and went to college anyway.
What year was it?
72.
Man, what a dream to be alive at
just
that time.
Just goes to show you don't need a college orientation.
Yeah.
See, I knew that there was a gap in like generational things because I wanted to go to Sasquatch Music Festival, which is like a 6-hour drive from where we lived in like 2008. I mean, I was like, hitchhike. Just hitchhike. I was like, Pop, we don't do that after John Wayne Gacy, my man.
He's ruined it for all of us.
I hitchhiked from Seattle to L.A.
Dad!
Yeah.
That's crazy town.
Yeah, hitchhiking was just a way of transportation in those days.
Shit.
We got to bring back hitchhiking.
Yeah, it was great.
Add that to Google Maps.
Google Maps, sure.
Google Maps. Oh, do you not use Google Maps?
No, do you?
Yes.
I thought you had to be a ghoul to use that.
No.
Oh, it's not like Facebook.
Those are maps for dead people?
Yeah. I got the hookup. It's me
yeah,
and the
haunted. Haunting this one dumb old house. I want to go haunt at Disneyland.
Yeah,
baby.
It's me and the Haunted Mansion crew just using Google Maps.
So instead of I see dead people, I see Cahuenga.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see traffic on the 405.
It is all narrated by Haley Joel Osment.
It's a good payday, man. Let's get into the tune.
Let's do it. Are those bongos?
Congas.
Oh.
Congas.
Congas?
Yep. Bobby somebody, who was their roadie.
Their roadie?
He was their roadie, and he wanted to play, so they let him play in the band.
Oh, my God.
He was the percussionist.
He played congos on this?
Yep. But he was their roadie, and they said, okay, yeah, you can play.
Oh, my God, that's so cool.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Okay, the second that drum comes in, I know what's going down.
Yeah.
And I know it's probably lame in, like, 2018 to be like, here we go, but it still gets me.
I feel the same way.
Two drummers?
Two drummers. Only the Doobies and Grateful Dead had two drummers.
Oh, my God, I didn't know there's two drummers on this.
Yep.
And then also the other thing that I didn't notice until I was reading the punch-up is that walking bass line of the piano part that...
That's all Michael McDonald.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Boom. You're going to hear it when we keep listening.
Yeah, people forget. Michael McDonald's a fantastic keyboardist.
And it's like syncopated.
Yeah, that's all him.
And if you listen really carefully, you'll hear that the piano part actually changes from first to second because he'll hit it two or three times the second time and he only hits it once the first time.
Yeah.
It's just enough to keep you interested without like being too weird. I don't know. I'm just
And then
obsessed.
Is that like a synth that comes in and it's like doot, 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 doot.
Sadly, yes.
Sadly?
What do you wish it was?
I don't know. Just almost every synth sound from 75 to 85 is just like a bad mistake.
Who do you think first got synth right?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. Give me a little time on that one.
Come back around to that one.
Yeah.
Tell me during Unpunchable Jams.
Yeah. The Unpunchable synth.
I really love the groove, though. It just puts me in a good mood.
Yeah,
just
I'm going to play it again. Yeah!
Actually, that sounds okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
I also feel like, is it panning back and forth?
Yeah,
I think it is, yeah.
It's like, it almost sounds like inward singing.
I love how the keyboard is like going down and then it comes back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like walking the opposite direction as the right hand.
It's beautiful.
He's so good.
He is.
He's so good.
Well, I don't know if you know, Ray Charles was his idol.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Michael McDonald's idol was Ray Charles. And like Ray Charles, you never think of Ray Charles piano playing. You just think of his incredible voice.
Yeah.
And the same with Michael McDonald. But they were both great piano players.
Yeah, I guess it blended in because their voice was so spectacular.
Exactly, yeah.
I
can't. I got to hear that voice now.
Well, here it is. He came from somewhere back in how long ago. The sound of the fool don't see trying hard to recreate what had yet to be created. Once in her life. Okay.
Dad, how do you feel about Michael McDonald's voice? You think it's amazing.
Okay, here's the thing. 40-year-old virgin fucked up Michael McDonald for the rest of time with everybody under 50 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
That's That's so funny. But it totally did.
That, I never saw that movie.
Oh, you didn't?
They make fun of him aggressively.
Oh, aggressively. No.
He plays on the TVs at like Best Buy on loop.
Yeah.
And so all of them work there. They're and they sick all make of fun of him constantly.
But I have to say, and maybe I sound old generation, but that voice to me is like the best voice of that whole time period.
I mean, objectively, it's a great voice.
And I mean, and you hear him, and he'll go reach for those high notes at like full voice.
Yeah.
And he nails them.
Yeah,
he's never flat.
But also, though, Timmy, what do you think of his voice?
The thing is, I can see the way he's singing when I hear it. And I can just hear, I can see his eyes getting closed and his mouth going, it came from somewhere. But it's like this weird hollow from the back of his throat voice. Yeah. But it's still like, it's objectively good.
Yeah.
But I'm
with you. Because he and Kenny Loggins did a concert like 3-4 years ago.
Uh-huh. They're buds, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're great friends. And I have to admit, if I close my eyes, it was amazing because these guys are my age and they still sounded incredible. Two of the best voices. But I couldn't watch them.
Because they get too into it?
Well, no, because they're like these old guys hitting these notes. I mean, you are imagining him at this age. Imagine him at 68 years old.
It's full on Santa Claus.
It's not pretty.
Santa Claus singing has got to be a great sight, though.
Santa doesn't sing like this, though.
That's true.
And, you know, spittle's coming out. It's just hard to watch.
Miel sent me a bunch of photos of him singing, and everyone, he's like, his mouth, his eyes are closed, and he's got this triangle-shaped mouth. Right.
And his lips are totally obscuring his teeth. Right. So it's just a black hole triangle, which is exactly what he sounds like.
Yeah. However you're imagining him singing this is exactly how.
Yeah. Which is like, I do think that the voice, in a way, it hasn't aged well because now, like, as a culture, we're so quick to make fun of anyone that sounds funny.
Right.
But I almost like it even more for that reason.
Yeah.
Because it does sound like a bit. It does sound like...
It sounds like you put on the Weird Al version. You're like, wait, this is the wrong... Yeah.
But what did he actually say? He came from somewhere back in her long ago.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That sounds sexual, right?
Yeah. No, I have to admit, I never listen to words. I don't.
Most people don't.
Yeah, I'm all... Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought people always listen to words. I listen to the music and the groove and maybe the title of the song.
Yeah. I feel like I'll listen to words once I realize... Like, if I get into the music, I'll be like, all right, what are they saying?
Yeah.
And I'll be like,
Yeah.
I'll make up my own.
Yeah, so I actually have no idea what this song's about.
I kind of do, but it's very confusing. Because then he says, a sentimental fool...
Don't see?
I gotta look it up.
A sentimental fool, don't see.
Trying hard to recreate
what had yet to be created.
Yeah.
Once in her life.
That does sound sexual.
So, okay, here's what I heard it's about. And this is what I don't totally understand, because there's two reads on it. One is that it's a girl that he knew and from the past, and he had remembered them as having, like, this relationship. And she's kind of like, buddy, we were just friends. Like, what are you talking about? The other read is that it's a girl he straight up doesn't know, has never met, and he's having some weird, like, deja vu that never happened. Being like, God, remember when she dated? She's like, bud, I don't know how to tell you. I don't fucking know you, man.
Either way, it's about
a guy
meeting this girl and her being like, I don't think that was what you think it was.
Yeah. And the Kenny Loggins version, I guess, inverted a lot of the gender stuff. Yeah, so maybe it made more sense when Kenny Loggins wrote it.
She came from somewhere back in him long ago.
Yeah, I definitely think no matter what, it'd be less creepy if a girl was saying it to a guy.
Because
it's just not like a thing of like, oh no, I know you. Like, it's like a little easier to brush off from a woman.
Sure.
But in any case, I don't totally understand how it makes sense throughout the song. I'm very interested to figure it out.
With that interpretation, it seems like he came from somewhere back, like in her life, in her past, he came out of her past, and he's very sentimental, and a fool. Doesn't see trying hard to recreate something from their past.
That had yet to be created.
Right.
It never happened.
Never happened.
It was all in his head, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's borderline creepy.
That's what I'm saying. Although she seems polite about it, what does she do?
This is such a fun topic for a song, though. It's just like, what inspires someone to write a song in the late 70s? Just like,
an idea.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to write a story song, but I don't have any interesting stories. I want to make up a riddle.
She musters a smile for his nostalgic tale. Never coming near what he wanted to say. Only to realize it never really was.
Bass poop. Bing, doom, bow, wow. So now she's polite about it. She must just smile.
She must just smile for his nostalgic tale, and it's just kind of
never
like,
coming near what he wanted to say. What did he want to say?
Wait, is it that she's never coming near what he wanted to say?
Yeah. He wanted her to say? She wanted to be like, oh, Michael, it's been so long.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, that's probably what actually happened.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
You.
I'll let you buy my coffee, but I don't actually know you at all.
Only to realize it never really was.
That's like real sad.
It is sad.
That's almost embarrassing.
Why write a song about that?
Good thing the music's up tempo.
And also, good thing they put in third person.
Yeah, right.
He was like, I had a place in her life.
He came from.
I do wonder if it's based on a true story at all.
Oh, I love the idea that this is all something that happened to him. And he's just like, oh, this fool that I don't know made this.
Did it happen to Michael or Kenny, though?
Oh, it probably happened to Kenny, which is why he reversed it so he wouldn't know it was him.
Yeah. I think it's like a Jesse's Girl.
He's probably
situation.
Pissed at Michael for outing him.
Yeah.
But Michael could get away with it, right? Michael was considered attractive, right?
Yes.
People liked him?
Yes.
I thought he was Santa when I was a kid. I was very confused.
Did he have like the white hair and beard as
brown.
A
well, no, he went prematurely white, but it was kind of a cool, it's sort of a Steve Martin cool looking white.
He was brown when this came out though, right?
Yeah.
But it's still young white.
Yeah, he went white quick.
Yeah, which is also my nickname if you just
what? Prematurely white?
Young white.
Ah, young white.
Young white, yeah. Trying to make it happen. It's not working.
Wow, Little Miss Snail Trail and Young
White. Oh, okay, stop.
Not that young really anymore.
Oh!
Bird! Yes!
Bird!
Dad roasts. I love it.
You came ready to podcast, baby.
He's reading off a list of Miel birds.
It's the only thing he prepared.
If you have any embarrassing stories about
who do you think taught her? Oh, I have plenty of embarrassing stories.
And then also, that was the end of that section.
Yes.
We're about to get into it now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep track of how many fucking sections are on this song because it's confusing.
Yes.
I don't know how to identify them. Is it we're going pre-chorus, chorus, post-chorus? Like, I don't know.
I think we're going into pre-chorus right now.
All right, let's hit it.
I wish I could find the stems for this song. I just want to hear every single instrument on this song.
I looked for so long. Yeah. No one's done it. Can we talk about those guitars, how they just suddenly made it feel like a little like psychedelic dream sequence?
Yeah, let me play it again because I had to listen to the lyrics.
It's like got a lot of tremolo or something. I don't know what the effect is.
I'm hearing more of that synth, which I really never actually heard that before. You just play this part.
The synth sounds like two people playing recorders to me.
Yeah. Or it's a cheap harmonica patch.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have a lot then, right? To choose from synth-wise?
No, they didn't really.
They worked with it well though.
A lot of pre-programmed stuff.
Yeah, I'll give them some slack.
And like a do over the entire part.
And then for the second half.
Whoever was playing that just got the easiest job on the song.
Probably the roadie.
They're like, all right, off the congas.
No, Bobby just played congas. Bobby LaKind, I think was his name, if I remember.
LaKind?
Right. I think that was his name. Look it up.
Bobby he should have been a star. That's a big name.
Yeah, I know.
That's an A-list name.
Yeah. It's
Bobby cool. LaKind.
Bobby LaKind.
Oh, you don't know me? I played the tablas. Wait, no, congos.
You don't know me?
Congo's a country. They're called congas.
Congas.
Yeah,
it's fine. I know that.
Actually, Congo is two countries, but anyway.
It is?
It's true.
Since when?
I don't know, but we played a game over Christmas, I think, where we tried to name as many countries in Africa as we could.
And Congo counts for two?
Well, there's Democratic Republic of Congo and the Congo something. There's like two names.
The Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Something, yeah.
Don't fact check this.
Back in my day, you got one Congo and you liked. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in my day, Joseph Conrad, Heart of Darkness.
And then, as you well know, there's Niger and Nigeria.
Yes.
Which is very confusing.
It's too many words.
And they're right next to each other.
Africa. Let's get it down to four countries.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, listeners, Africa is not a country.
Yeah.
I appreciate you setting them straight down.
It's a continent.
I do see that. I do see people refer to Africa a lot, which I'm a little bit like, do you know any countries?
Yeah.
Egypt, yeah. And then the rest.
Yeah. Although I was really, I thought it was very fun when David was like, oh man, you're from Nigeria? You're cool. Because I've never heard,
yeah.
Like, African.
Do you know?
Yeah. No, he said his cousin was in a Nollywood movie. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, that was fascinating to me.
Did you know that people in Sierra Leone want to be from Nigeria?
I knew that there was a thing with like Ghana and Nigeria, but mm-hmm. I don't know, because I guess there's a hierarchy of like, yeah. Who thinks other Africans are cool.
Yeah, you were cool and you didn't know it.
I didn't know that. I've been coasting on nothing for so long.
But you know it now, right?
I know it okay, now, okay, and I good. Will exercise that coolness.
Yeah, look at him. He's wearing a full three-piece suit at 10 a.m.
I will be taking it off for the photo. You will never see it. So the lyrics to this part, she had a place in his life.
No, but she didn't, though.
He never made her think twice.
I don't know what that means.
It just rhymed.
I guess.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
So, yeah, because she had a place in his life is like...
But she didn't.
But, like, she did.
Well, yeah, in his head.
Yeah, in his head. Yeah.
He had a placeholder space that wasn't actually her. Or that was her and they were friends. I don't know how to read
it. Yeah, it's like she had a place in his life. He did not have a place in her life.
True.
I don't know what he never made her think twice could even mean.
Maybe. Oh, think twice about liking him because she was never interested.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's a better rhyme than ice. That's all.
She liked to eat chups of ice. Yeah. I don't know what chup
is. So you can see why they choose twice.
Yeah, or rice. Jollof right. rice. That's hey, right. If we're doing Hey Ma again. I don't know. Anyways, I don't mind that the lyrics suck there because the music's good.
Yeah.
The music's exactly. so good.
Yeah, I get those notes and it's like, twice. I don't care what you're saying.
That little run he does twice.
Oh, that voice, man.
Think twice. It's great.
I gotta get it again. Hit me. Wait so much longer, you think he's gonna do the run.
I love when he goes from had a place to in his life because it feels like he's going from falsetto back to like a normal register,
which is harder than hell to do. And he did it perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't even hear the separation,
right?
It's all like one voice,
yeah. And he's doing it like in a 16th and 8th note way. It's
yeah, he's syncopating it a little bit, right?
It's amazing,
yeah. It's very cool,
man.
Big Michael McDonald stands in here,
yeah.
Questionable, we chose this to punch up. Yeah, it's okay. We'll
you
there.
Did the punch up though, I am not. I don't feel foolish at all.
As she rises to her apology, anybody else would surely know.
Okay, what happened?
That musically, that is my favorite part of the entire
song.
Yeah,
yeah. What did syncopation?
Explain to me. It's just syncopated. They threw the rhythm.
Yeah.
Do you know from what to what?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Like they went from like quarter notes to. I don't know.
Well, they dotted A's. It's like and in a beat, it's up like beat. One and two and three, and there's a lot of ands.
So they started making up beats?
And it's always on the and, which is the fun part.
Yeah. I'm so glad we have a professional musician to tell us what
she rises through her apology.
There's so many things. Just starting with like the little roll on the is that the hi hat?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the part in the middle where the piano like picks up for like a little yeah.
That boo boo boo, that little walk.
It's so great.
I love it so much. And also it makes me want to sing along so bad.
Absolutely.
I'm having trouble not.
And then of course the next part, the claps come in, and then you're all in.
There's claps?
Yeah, you can hear it at the end of this.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I've never noticed the claps.
Yeah.
Have you noticed every layer of this?
No.
I'm assuming
there's so many.
Nope. I know. You layers. Could do this forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad. We're kind of like not really paying attention to the lyrics, but how can you? This is a groove, man.
Yes, it really is a groove.
Suddenly, I'm like Doobies. It worked out well for you, boys.
Well, and it should be noted there are two eras of Doobies. You guys know this, right?
Michael McDonald era and
the Tom Johnston era.
Tom Johnston era.
Yeah, the Tom what? Johnston era. Listen to the Music and China Grove and those songs. Yeah. Completely different vibe.
Yeah, no, he brought soul to them.
And then Michael he had McDonald. Like some stomach issues, and he had to like leave Quit. The band, and they bring in Michael McDonald, and the entire vibe completely changes to R&B.
Yep. Yeah. From 75 to 82, Michael McDonald was in the band.
And now Tom Johnson's back in the band, and Michael's not. So
but he plays with them a lot.
Oh, yeah.
There's no bad blood.
No.
It's very cool that they were all just buddies.
But I had no idea that there were two different
Completely areas. Different vibes.
Yeah, one of the Doobie
bands.
Bros
Equally successful.
Is Listen to the Music before or after this?
That was their first hit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's when they were more rock-oriented,
No, that's
right?
like in 71 or 2 or 3. I mean, that was early on.
That's so cool. The same band had two separate eras.
Yeah,
and
but,
then
but
ultimately
Patrick Simmons and you know, their bass player, their drummers, Bobby Lacan.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they all kind of groove through both. But yeah, it was two completely different bands.
Yeah, but Michael, even if he was a different type of songwriter, his voice alone would change the tone of the band.
Totally.
Yeah. He can't be singing like hard rock.
No, they were just like a straight ahead. Just you know, when I was talking about the Ams, the syncopation.
Yeah,
they were like, they were like much, more of a downbeat band.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I know that song.
Yeah.
That's the only song I know. Yeah.
That's a good one.
So his influences, is that how they became more?
Yeah. It kind of went from the Tom Johnson band to the Michael McDonald band. Now, I don't mean to leave out Patrick Simmons because he did like Blackwater and he's responsible for that great finger picking.
He's
stuff.
The only one that was.
He's
the
been through
bros
everything.
Who
he's
stayed
the guy
through.
With the long hair.
Yeah,
and he's great and he was a big part of it. But he wasn't like the lead singer. Yeah, the heart.
Wow.
My question is, did they, after Michael McDonald left, did they return to that original sound?
Yeah, well they went. Tom Johnson came back.
Yeah,
I think for maybe a little bit they played together.
Uh-huh.
And then Tom Johnson came back, and now that's who they have now is Tom Johnson. So you know they're focusing probably more on those hits, but I think they probably do.
This is their biggest hit though.
Yeah, they probably do these songs and have somebody else sing it.
Yeah, they just have to have guest singers.
Or maybe Tom sings. I don't know.
That'd be big shoes to fill.
He's a great singer. It's a totally different vibe than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anyone, even hearing Kenny Loggins singing, I'm like, no.
No,
This is you're Michael not McDonald's Michael McDonald.
Yeah, yeah. They kind of went from like a bar band to a Ray Charles band back to a bar band.
I mean, I'm not complaining.
But they're great players. I mean, they pulled it off both. Yeah.
They're both good.
Yeah, they're both good.
Well, lyrically, we got to discuss this
part. Do we have to?
I guess we should.
Okay.
As he rises to her apology.
So does that mean he's getting up because she's like, sorry, I don't know. And he's like, oh, this is embarrassing. I got to go.
Ooh, my mistake. Or maybe it's just like as he comes to accept her saying.
That makes more sense.
Anybody else would surely know? I guess that's in
that conjunction. That he doesn't know her? Oh, maybe watching them. Like, because it kind of sounds like a public place has happened.
Yeah. They're
maybe
like
someone else in the coffee shop is like, they don't know each other.
Or maybe he's saying anyone else would surely know, meaning he was just clueless because he's a fool.
Yes, he's a fool.
And anybody would have seen this but him.
Yeah. Okay, so then that leads me to think that they did know each other.
Yeah.
She's not some stranger that he imagined.
Right. Yeah.
It's a girl he thought that they had like a thing and she's like, what? No.
Although it would be very funny if it is just he went to the wrong table and the person right behind him is like, no, yeah, we dated for 20 years, and he's just like, ah,
oh, you're Samantha. I'm mostly blind.
Apologies. And then this kicks into.
I can't even talk about it. I'm too into it.
Same. I just cannot stop imagining like roadies with recorders just bouncing back and forth.
You're rewriting the synth parts into recorded parts?
Yeah.
That's a vision.
Now, and to be noted, from a musical point of view, they're in a completely different key than they were.
They changed keys?
Yeah, just completely different than they were like 20 seconds ago.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
And that's really hard to pull off.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
It happens during the Wise Man Has the Power.
Yeah,
part,
they're, yeah. Right here, if you play the beginning of the song, that's completely different keys. And now they're moving back. And now. Whoa, where'd that come from?
Is that like a fourth or something?
I can't remember. And
so
now,
high.
Another key, here.
This is a different key again?
Yeah. And they go the relative minor. Yeah.
Okay. My question is when is it different than changing the key versus pulling a chord that's out of the key?
I don't really make that distinction.
Frequently
a song, you know, you go to the chorus, you'll go to
the four chord or the five chord
or something that's kind of in the same key. But in this case, they just switch keys. And what's really cool, with a lot of people don't know about this, when you go to a bridge or a different key, usually it's the bridge, you go to a different key.
Yeah.
To get back to the original key is tricky because
you
got to find some chords.
I
call them Dorothy chords because it's like finding your way home.
I love that.
And Dorothy chords are the – I patented that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Dorothy
chords are the hardest ones to find because you have to make it sound natural. I have to go from here to here, and it has to not sound like I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
And they did it just seamlessly.
I've never noticed.
Yeah.
To their credit, I've never noticed.
There you go.
And I think of myself as kind of getting it.
Yeah.
Kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
And I never fucking knew.
Yeah. Well, play it on guitar sometime.
No,
and,
thanks.
And you'll see.
I don't think I could probably play a single one of these chords. They're probably crazy as hell.
No, they're not.
Can we talk about that? Hoo, boo, boo, boo.
It's so great.
It's like, it feels like I'm in church. They just took me to church. And then those harmonies. Oh my God.
Are those aren't all his voice, are they?
They probably are.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, because if you have Michael McDonald, who people paid triple scale to come sing harmony on their records.
He's on everybody's records, right?
He's on everybody's records. Well, I mean, he had to actually slow down.
He was the Michael Jackson of R&B.
He was everywhere. He may even be on a Michael Jackson song. Yeah.
He probably is.
He was on everything in this era. So, you got Patrick Simmons can sing the harmony. Who's fine harmony singer? Or you can get Michael McDonald.
To triple himself.
To triple himself.
Yeah.
I'm sure they all sang, but it's mostly
It's Michael. Yeah. Not Michael Jackson.
No.
As we discussed.
That's right.
Michael McDonald.
And so, even though he wanted it really bad.
I get why that won the Grammy then for vocal accompaniment or whatever the hell it was. Because it swells suddenly. You're oh, where are we going? Take me there, Michael. Yeah.
All of the music seems like it's just built to cover up the sadness of what's happening story-wise in the song.
It's so true. Imagine if for a second that this was just like a poem you found in someone's journal. You'd be worried about their mental health.
It's like, oh no, this happened to you, man? I'm sorry.
Well, it's also so like self-deprecating. He's just, what a fool believes. No wise man has the power, was it?
What a fool believes he sees. No wise man has the power to reason away.
I don't understand.
Whoa, that's deep.
What is he saying?
I don't know, but it's deep.
It's like when a fool thinks something, even the wisest person can't...
convince them otherwise.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty prescient, don't you think?
Really?
Did Michael McDonald go to Harvard? Oh, no, Kenny Loggins? I don't know who wrote the words.
Yeah, did they both go to Harvard?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize this was Marcel Proust. Is that how you say his name?
I don't know. I think that was a mime, but anyway.
In my opinion... That's a little deep for like a hooky chorus. That's pretty wild they managed to sneak that in there.
Yeah, but you make it Ray Charles-y and it's like, sounds great.
Yeah. They made me groove so hard, I didn't even know they were singing poetry at me. Oh, man. Also, the wise man has the power.
Yeah.
Which I, for the longest time, thought they were saying, I can't understand them. I thought they were saying, I like peanut butter.
I like peanut butter.
Laurel Yanny.
Oh, yeah. It actually might be a Laurel Yanny.
Yeah. It's actually, they're singing both.
That's
Do
right.
Do you hear?
Yeah.
One of the Michael McDonald's is harmonizing by saying, I like peanut butter.
Just one.
Exactly. Just one.
And then another one saying, Paul is dead backwards.
Yes. In this era, every track had to have someone saying Paul is dead.
That's right.
It was the law.
Yeah. I actually thought for a minute about doing a punch up in which it's just, because the words are kind of hard to understand.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I could just make it Michael McDonald ordering a sandwich. And you wouldn't notice. I want peanut butter.
I want it on wheat.
Da, 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 da.
Boo, 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 boo. And then, like, I don't know, the
Cut
waiter.
Off the crust.
The waiter's like, can you please stop singing at the restaurant?
I'm on the episode of All Fantasy Everything that comes out today. And I told them that we were doing this song. And I started singing A Cinnamon of Fools. And they were like, are you saying A Cinnamon of Fools?
See, it's food stuff.
Yeah, it's food stuff.
I think they were hungry and they just found words that sounded similar.
Pretty much.
And then accidentally, oop, it's poetry.
What a food to eat.
See, that's what we should have done.
Oh, we always come up with a good punch up in the middle of the podcast as we've already done it.
Oopsie.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's all Michael McDonald.
That's how he did it. That's his Dorothy's, that little lyric.
Yeah.
Because that's back in the original key.
Yep.
That's so smart.
Yeah, it's so seamless, man.
Do they make music like this
That's
anymore?
Why it's Song of the Year, man. That's why it's Song of the Year.
It's why it won Song of the Year and Album of the Year.
Yeah, right.
Because your dad voted for it?
Because my dad voted for it. Actually, were you on the Grammy board yet?
I did vote on Grammys in that
what?
Year.
What?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't
well,
vote for
before
this.
You get too impressed, anybody who had anything to do with any record that was released, I produced a Capitol release in 76, but anybody, any engineer, second engineer, bongo congo player, everybody could join and
That's
vote on the Grammys.
That's still impressive.
And you could vote for any 15 votes you wanted, including spoken word Hispanic. So,
what'd you vote for?
No, I voted for that one. No, but honestly, you didn't have to have any qualifications. You could just vote on anything you felt like, which makes the Grammys a little bit of a wink.
I hope it's still that way because that means we got a shot.
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh, we gotta get one of these punch ups of record release.
We gotta get on like a credit for like mastering something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe is there a podcast Grammy yet?
No.
There should be. There should be.
We would never win that.
Could we?
No.
Maybe you're Welcome to the Jungle. We could submit.
I don't know about that.
Weird Al's probably won Grammys. You could win a Grammy.
Oh, yeah. We're just as good as Weird Al.
But before we get into the next verse, let's take a quick ad break.
Let's. We're back!
We didn't go anywhere.
No, we sure did not.
You're seen behind the curtain, Deb.
It's like Jeopardy. You know Jeopardy, they do all five in like 2 days.
I did.
Which is
know
crazy.
Yeah. Alex Trebek's got a sweet deal for himself.
No, yeah. He probably has to pee between episodes.
You know, he's old.
Probably not.
Has to. Oh, you know, he doesn't. Big prostate can't pee that much.
That guy's like 70 years old. It's amazing.
Yeah, back to my point. Big prostate can't pee that much.
There you go.
I've seen, what was that movie? Zoolander.
What?
Ben Stiller's dad in that movie, right? Can't pee at all?
Yeah. Oh, right. I was like, what are you talking about? And then I was
That's where I learned my science.
I'm guessing you say that a lot in podcasts with me, Al.
Yeah, what are you talking about is my catchphrase.
Exactly.
It's going to be on a shirt by the end of this. What seems to be is always better than nothing at all. This is sad now.
This is a riddle. This is a fucking riddle.
If this entire song was just different scenarios of like a fool believing something that doesn't exist.
Yes. This is like what an old witch says, like cryptically in the woods before like the climax.
With
of
her
a
bony
horror
finger.
Yeah.
It's what always seems better than nothing. Yeah, I mean, always better than nothing.
Right.
Yeah, all right. What do you mean?
Good call.
If you just said it like that, it would make a lot more sense.
Right. But because he's singing it, we're just like, what? I also love that it's like not more than two clapping.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not like a lot of claps in there.
Yeah. It could very easily just be like an entire group of people, but it's just. Like two people.
Michael Jackson's probably one of them.
Yes, yeah. Michael Jackson's like, I was the one clapping on that record. What do you mean? You don't remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the softest golf clap, too. It's not even like a big clap.
Golf clap. I never heard that before.
You told me not to do it, but I did it quietly enough that you can kind of hear it on the track still. That's me.
I whisper.
I'm soft spoken.
There's Shimon.
Shimon.
I was supposed to clap, but I just whispered. I told a riddle quietly in the background.
What seems to be.
It is a fucking riddle.
It is a riddle, this entire song.
A troll makes you solve this before you can cross a bridge. In an alternate universe, he's played by Michael McDonald.
What's red and white and blue all over?
It's Gollum. It's just fucking Gollum down in the ring.
That the way that he does mask that, like, dropping back down with the keep sending him, it's so cool.
Back. And also, lyrically, takes you right into, it's the top of the next sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking brilliant, man.
It also, because it's just going back to, like, the very first part where it's, like, somewhere back in him long ago, it does feel like you're just sort of, like, rewinding all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah, he's making us have deja vu now.
Yeah.
Do I know her? I don't know.
No, you don't. That's the, no,
I
the song
like
says
I do
you don't.
Now.
You don't.
I don't know.
Not to spoil it, but you don't. All right, next clip.
Okay, can we talk about that bass? What that bassist did?
I did not hear.
I'm listening to the ARP strings over on the left side. Yeah. I never really heard those.
There's so much to listen to. I'm going to play it again. Play
it.
Yeah, that's a nice lick.
I've never heard that.
I forget that guy's name, but yeah, he was a great bass player.
Blondie Kudu.
No. Blondie Kudu.
I don't know.
You took a shot.
No
one can fault you.
I mean, what was the actual guy's name? Barry Kingling?
What?
Bobby LeKind?
That's the one.
No, I think it was Tyrone.
You're gonna Google
the
it?
Bass player? Yeah, yeah.
Do you know my passcode?
Oh.
You grabbed my phone to Google that on.
It's like, oh, we all know your passcode.
Yeah, say it.
No.
It's the same as my social security number. It's 754321. I'll just bleep it all.
I was like, those aren't no.
I just said, that was actually my password to every email I have.
Oh, okay.
I messed up. Gotta bleep it either way.
That's such a cool.
Isn't it? Yeah. Every instrument is just like, it's my turn to show off.
Yeah. And they're also quiet because I feel like there's also.
There's like strings building a chord in the left side. It's like, and then a second note comes in, and then a third note comes in. You notice it?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Because there's also just, like, a piano thing that sounds like it's the bass until the bass comes in.
Because there's a walking bass line written into the piano part, too. Yeah. The left hand is just taking a little breeze down there.
Oh, Tyrone Porter.
Tyrone. What'd you call him? Tyrone? That was close.
That's close.
I liked what I said, which I don't remember.
I like what you said, too.
Ting King Rudu.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
You're just naming, like, fucking Jungle Book characters.
There's the snake from Jungle Book. That's right.
Yeah.
Ting King Rudu, of course, and Baloo. And...
Shere Khan. Wait, Tiran Porter was the bassist?
Bass player, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Do you think he wrote it then? Probably.
Oh, yeah. He was a great player.
Because these bands don't like write it out. You just get to, like, hey, take a run. They take 10 takes and they use the one they like.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do people still do that as much?
I just imagine.
I don't know how people make records anymore.
I don't either.
I just imagine that, like, they've got whatever sound they've got, and then while recording, they'll just, like, play something. And
Yeah. And then just, like, feel the groove, and we'll tell you if we like it or not.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love when great minds get together.
I'm going to play this one more time.
It's at one point that was holding like six notes.
Yeah.
That just built a chord.
Yeah, yeah.
As it went. That's so fucking cool.
You know, you were wishing we had stems. I wish we could hear the kick drum and the bass.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because those two are, if you just focus on those, they are happening.
If anyone knows Michael McDonald out there,
give us the fucking stems!
Give us the stems!
Who do you think engineered this? Maybe we can ask them.
I think Ted Templeman produced it, if I'm not mistaken. All
right, that's a made-up name.
Ted Templeman.
He produced almost all
Bobby Tupperware produced this one.
Yeah, I think he did.
I found the MIDI stems. So someone took every section and transposed it into a MIDI file.
Mm.
And I listened to them each soloed and couldn't tell if any of them were correct, but altogether they sounded correct. That's how weird each part is. I was like, this can't be right. This is crazy.
There's just one part that's just dun, dun, dun.
There's like,
dun, dun, dun.
The bass is walking all over the whole time.
Yeah.
What is the name? What is the name?
Wow, Ted Templeman. That's a real person.
Woo, Dad! God, you have good memory. That's how long since you've thought of Ted Templeman?
30 years.
Jesus Christ. I don't remember what I had for dinner last night.
You should. That's a problem.
Yeah, you know, Doobie Brothers. I don't know. Anyways, what did he say?
Oh, in that part?
Yeah, did we talk about that?
Keep sending him somewhere back in her long ago where he can still believe there's a place in her life.
Oh, so his memory. He's back. He's lost in thought.
Yeah, yeah, where he can thought. Still believe. That's sort of sad to me. It's just like he keeps going back in his mind just be like, no, there has to have been.
Or maybe he's like, the truth is too painful. I'd rather live in my thoughts.
Oh, that's even sadder.
He's like his own stalker.
Yeah.
He's creating a narrative in which things aren't creepy.
Yeah.
Because it's more comforting for him to live there.
Yeah.
Someday, somewhere, she will return.
No, she won't. But
no, she won't, man. That's not how memory works.
She didn't even have to think twice.
Living the dream.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't believe you, Michael McDonald. You were a ladies' killer. I don't believe you.
That's why he's talking about some other person. Yeah.
He's like, this is about Kenny. This is what I give out to my friend Kenny Loggins, who this is a true story about. All right. Here we go.
Wait a minute. Is it Kenny Loggins?
Pre-Danger Zone, right?
I was going to say, I was like, I feel like there's another Kenny that I always confuse Loggins with.
Danger Zone and Footloose, right? Didn't he do both of those?
Well, Kenny also had like two completely different careers.
Yeah.
Loggins and Messina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was like this sort of folky.
Yeah.
Who, you know, Danny Song and, you know, all these great songs. And it was an amazing voice.
Is Danny Song the one that's, no, that's Danny Boy. Never mind. The pipes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
No, I believe that's traditional.
I was like, wow, Kenny Loggins wrote Danny.
Yeah.
Oh, Danny Song.
In 1822.
In Ireland.
In Ireland, yeah, of all things. But, no, and then after he and Messina broke up, he kind of became like this sort of solo slick kind of guy.
Hot shot.
And, yeah, and I stopped believing anything he sang. Still had an amazing voice. I just didn't believe a word he sang.
Didn't he also do the Winnie the Pooh song?
Yeah, that was
Christopher Robin.
Yeah, that was on the first record, too.
What?
Not the theme song, but the song about Winnie the Pooh.
House at Pooh Corner was
House at Pooh Corner. Yeah.
Well, I've never heard the song.
No, you've heard it, if nothing else, because Andy Bernard sings it for an entire episode of The Office.
Oh,
so you've definitely heard it there.
Yeah, so that was him in the early days, kind of this folky guy, you know, and then he kind of went to this sort of super slick guy with the... Yeah, different guy.
Because I grew up with Kenny Loggins being the Danger Zone guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
So yeah, like, you were in the slick era, but before that, it was this whole sort of
we missed out.
Earthy organic guy.
Oh, we have anything else to say about this part?
About this part, no. Other than it's sad and has that cool bass line to cover it up.
I know the lyrics are. This is a weird juxtaposition.
She will return. Boom, boom, bim, 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 boom.
It's like a little tragedy in that bass line.
Yeah,
just a hint of crying. And then does it go back to the same part, or is it different?
It goes back to, well, it's a pre-chorus, but he sings it a little differently.
Well, we guess we better listen to it.
Listen to this!
Kenny! I warned my my dad you might do that, and then I forgot.
Yeah, you forgot.
I was like, if he does this thing, it's because he's being a dick. Okay. Jesus Christ.
I take some time off from doing it.
No, you get me every time.
I know. That's the best part.
I think maybe once I was expecting it.
Yeah.
You're just, you don't sell it in a way that gives it away.
Sure.
You're such a punk.
Thank you.
You're a little fucking punk.
Thank you. Next clip.
I feel a little tropical.
It's a little bouncy.
Yeah, it makes me like pina colada.
Yeah, there should be a steel drum in there.
Yeah, just to mix it up.
Yeah.
Keep interest.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the most tropical song about a mistaken memory I've ever heard.
I don't have anything to say.
Sure is. I guess that is very similar to the way it's sung the other part.
I mean, if we have to listen to every section again, oopsie.
I guess if we gotta. The only part where it does become different is in this next verse, or in this next part of it, he starts singing the As He Rises part, like a beat earlier, I want to say. So it's like,
as he rises to her apology, anybody else would surely know.
Oh man, I don't know what it is about the fucking bam, 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 bam. It just, I can't help but whip my body back.
Yeah.
I feel like,
you're just bouncing along to it.
You know, I'm noticing something musically. All that syncopation, all the ands. And then it's bump, bump, bump. And then it goes to like downbeat.
Yeah.
So that's, I think I never thought of this before. But that's part of what the appeal is.
Yeah.
You got all this ands, and then it's bam, right down the downbeat again.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If we really analyze it, there's four fucking sections.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a straight verse.
Right.
And then there's the... As he wait, no, that's next. She had a place. Okay, so whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then as he rises to whatever that is. And then what a fool believes. I never have noticed the four distinct sections of this song until I broke it down.
Yeah. It feels like there's a pre-chorus.
Yeah, pre-chorus one, pre-chorus two, pre-chorus three, chorus.
That's great.
Because the chorus is the what a fool believes part, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
You could say it's any one of those
sections. Yeah, that's the chorus.
I don't know how to
think it is. Basically, the chorus is where the title of the song happens.
Right, okay, yeah. Okay. Which is why the chorus of so many songs are in the chorus.
Wow.
Great reasoning.
That's deep.
You're not wrong.
That's deep.
Yeah, you know. And is there a bridge in this song?
There's not.
It jumps so high. You hear that? It dropped out.
Oh, as that little synth recorder is going up, the bass is also going down.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
It's beautiful.
It is.
They're just both taking a walk around the world.
Yes.
I love it.
Just taking a walk around the world.
I love it. I hate that I have no bone to pick with this.
Yeah.
Other than the lyrics are fucking weird. I didn't need it.
Story-wise, this is a very weird thing to sing about. I also just love that on this part, he holds the watching her go, so it's watching her go. It's great.
You can definitely tell they didn't like copy paste anything from
Spacelot.
He re-sang all of it impeccably.
Well, you couldn't do that in those days.
You couldn't copy. You couldn't cut the tape.
Couldn't control C, control V.
No. In fact, you would sometimes have like three different takes of the basic track, and then you'd have to like get the big 2-inch tape out and reel it out and do a big edit, and then take that piece of tape, hang it somewhere, go to the next reel, which takes 20 minutes to rewind, and then the next one, and then cut it in.
Oh
and
my god!
Hope it's seamless.
Pass.
And if it isn't, you go, oh, let's just put it back where it was. And,
oh my god!
Editing.
I'm gonna wait until forever. The '90s to make music.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna wait until the '90s.
Right.
Also, desperately wish people could see your hand gestures, Dad. When you describe that,
because a lot of miming.
That was a full-on mime performance.
Well, I mean, I started engineering in 71, so I
understand the cocaine 80s suddenly. That's too much work.
Cocaine was 80 to 83. It was just a dalliance. It was
more of a dalliance. Not you, or
not you necessarily.
Oh,
just
sorry.
The
I want to just cut that out.
I mean, honestly, though, if you were an engineer at that time in LA and you didn't do coke, that would be, I wouldn't believe you.
Yeah, everybody did.
Everybody did coke. Let's be honest.
Not pretty.
I mean, I think we've discovered
you were a loser if you didn't do coke in the 80s.
Right. Every song we've done from the 80s, there's a part that you're like, oh, that's just the coke part.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
like, we're like too coked out to say no.
Yeah.
What is the coke part of this song? Is it coming up still?
Maybe it's that, hey.
Or is it maybe the story?
Maybe the story. story. Although this is the 70s. Was Coke as big in the 70s?
I'd say Coke's heyday was 78 to 83. That's kind of my...
Really? So this kicked off the cocaine period.
There you go.
People were like, this is a little too chill.
Disco. Basically, follow disco, you follow Coke.
There you go.
you find the money, you follow the Coke.
And I think this is where it starts with, like, he starts having the background vocals that I cannot make out what he's saying at all.
Where?
And then this
but FYI, keep in mind, he's singing this vocal way up high.
Yeah.
He's doing a harmony over that.
Yeah.
So he's like in the stratosphere.
he's in space.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And perfectly in tune.
I wonder what his actual range is. I wish I had the number. And the letter.
Yeah, I have no
number
clue.
And the letter.
Different now than then, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, he's old.
Although, not significantly.
Do you think he can still hit the harmonies when he's like singing this live?
I don't know, but like I say, this little thing I saw last year.
You saw him live, right?
No, I saw a live concert.
Oh, okay.
And I was looking for if they punched in notes on the, and it looked perfectly live and real. They were both hitting notes. I was shocked they were hitting.
Wow.
Again, I didn't like looking at them, but boy, they sounded great.
Old Triangle Mouth McDonald.
Yeah. Well, but with the old man spittle, it was not pretty set. Yeah.
I kind of like it.
Do you?
I kind of like it. It's
the
endearing.
Old man spittle.
It's endearing. Yeah. I like it. That's freestyling.
I think so.
Right?
Every time I hear this song or think about it, I mouth that part. It's like, who's got the power?
What's he saying? Love can come, love can go.
If love can come and love can go, why can't love return once more, I think?
Well, that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's very cool.
It's basically Jim Carrey going, so you're telling me I got a shot?
Yeah.
There's a chance. I love how he sang not only a totally different melody, but in a different place.
Yeah.
Almost like call and response with those background vocals. That's so fucking cool. I bet that was freestyling. Huh?
Who's
like,
got the power?
He's like, just roll one. I don't know. How does he talk? Does his voice sound like he sings when he talks?
No, actually, he's got a very soft-spoken
sort of
voice.
Hey, just roll one more.
In fact, actually,
he sounds like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, when he starts singing, it's like, whoa, where'd that come from? Yeah, it is amazing.
Just roll another one.
Yeah.
Love can't go. Love can go.
What did you say? Shabazz? What was the one?
Shaman,
yeah.
Shaman.
Maybe that's why.
Just in the middle of making dinner.
Thriller.
Wait, Michael McDonald trying to be Michael Jackson? Yeah.
And his wife would go, no, you're just never going to be him.
There's something evil's lurking in the dark. He did the Vincent Price part at the end.
Darkness falls.
Like, no, we got to get someone scarier.
He was the first cut, and they were like, Vincent's not around to do this. Why did we get Mike?
Can we get Vincent?
Sorry, Mike.
I know you guys are trading off. He's going to do the claps on your song.
Whatever, more parts, Russ. We have more sections.
Just like fade out, but still, it's a good fade out.
Freestyling.
He's like spoiling what they're about to say.
And that was What a Fool Believes by the Doobies.
Is it just me, or does suddenly that a little bit remind you of Funky Town?
Wait, sing along the part that you're talking about. I kind of.
Won't you take me to Funky Town?
No.
Oh, okay. That's okay. This reminds me of it. Doesn't make sense.
I believe she's never gone away.
Well, that's weird. Because you're just defying reality, right?
I guess.
He's like, I know you're saying you didn't like me, but in my head you did, and I prefer this.
It feels like he's telling one story, and at the end he's just like, maybe they can make it work. It's just...
Well, probably the producer said, it's so downer. Can you just end it with a happy note?
Yeah. And they were like, we're not writing a new part. I'll just freestyle something over what we've got. Right.
But it sounds written.
Yeah.
It's old Mikey McD.
I'm playing it again just for one... What were you talking about?
Listen, after he says she's never gone away, an instrument comes in and goes out. with a synth horn, they're like, oh, fuck.
Kind of, yeah. It's like, oh, that's not, no, no, that.
That's not in the song anywhere else. No.
And the engineer's just like smoking a joint going, yeah, we're fading out. Friend even hear
no,
it.
Cocaine 80s, Dad.
Like, oh, that's right, sorry.
Doobie
right.
Bros were early 70s.
That's right, sorry.
Then they
smoking
became
a
cocaine,
cocaine joint.
Right. They became the Coke Bros.
Oh, that's how crack got invented.
Yeah,
the Doobies.
A lot of stuff
it.
Was happening in this song at the same time. I love that he says, like, to reason away right before they do. Like, when you go see a movie and someone's like, oh, this is the best part, when they show up, and then they show up. It's like, okay.
He wanted to beat him to the chase.
Yeah. But that's Chappie of this song.
Dad, did you see Chappie, by the way?
No.
Oh, you gotta
we
see
gotta
Chappie.
Watch Chappie.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't it get preened?
Critics don't know about
that. They just
critics
don't get it.
Didn't get it.
Okay, got
just
it.
Just like the girl in this song doesn't get it. You gotta be.
Critics
like,
don't get.
Critics
Chappie.
Don't get it. The yeah, girl no. doesn't get it. We
She's
get it.
The critics. Yeah. He's Chappie.
He's Chappie. Chappie has a book. We get it.
Chappie has a book.
You guys are Chappie, Dad.
Okay, okay, okay.
Chappie. Woo, what a classic.
Welcome to the Chappie cast.
You know how Chappie could have been better? Michael McDonald was the voice of Chappie.
Chappie has book!
If you haven't seen Chappie, this isn't going to make sense to you. So I guess
if you have
seen
Chappie, this
see
also
Chappie.
Won't make sense to you.
So it's a great bit.
As all good bits. They don't make sense to anybody but me and Demi.
No.
That's yeah. why we have the podcast. Thank you.
Go to sleep. I'm Chappie. Not a quote from Chappie. Let's stop talking about Chappie.
Do you think Michael McDonald sings lullabies in this voice?
Hush, little baby.
Why is that so funny to me?
Michael McDonald doing anything is very funny to me. Can you do a Michael McDonald voice?
Well, actually, that's a great segue to the punch-up.
Oh, great. Mr. Miel's dad, can you do it?
No, I cannot do Michael McDonald.
Oh, but you can try. Beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
That's like Shakira and Michael McDonald mixed together.
Yeah, Shakira McDonald.
I can't do one either, but boy, did that not stop me from trying. Because here's the thing. My thought was, how do you make this song better? More Michael McDonald.
Okay.
But I couldn't find isolated vocal anywhere, so right. I had to improvise a little bit. So I don't want to tell you anything else, because it's something.
Okay.
It is something, and you have to finish it. Not because anything happens at the end, but just because I want to force you to listen to the whole thing.
Oh, I was like, what does that even mean?
There's right. no climax. Don't get your hopes up.
Okay.
I just basically was like, the only way to make this great tune better is if it was even more Michael McDonald. Great. How do I incorporate the most Michael McDonald?
Shall I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. This is like a Christmas Michael McDonald.
This is great.
He came from somewhere back in the long ago. Sentimental food on sea giant heart.
This is awesome.
Words in a lane. He must have a smile. For his most talented tale. Never coming near what he wanted to say. Only the real life. It never really was. She. He's watching her go. What if we believe?
Jesus, this is ambitious.
That was fantastic.
Okay, I have to know. Did you like sample that?
No, that is all.
That's just
me.
All you
that
just.
That's like 20 vocals.
I was gonna say that sounds like when you play with one of those Casios where you can sample
yeah,
your voice.
Yeah.
Oh no, I really wish
you actually sang 20
I
parts.
I sang 20 fucking that, parts.
That's phenomenal.
I've never been more impressed.
You did it.
I'm so proud.
You won Woo! Your father's
it's
love.
Yeah. It's recording.
It's just temporary. It's
oh,
just
okay.
temporary.
As soon as we're done yeah, recording,
as soon as we're
you
done.
Have to prove it again.
It'll be gone in an hour.
Every 29 years, you got to reprove
exactly.
it.
Sorry.
Wow.
That was it was definitely a really weird way to spend 4 hours, yeah, for sure. Really. I sent it to my brother, who's also a musician, and he was like, so that sounds like that took a lot of time.
Well, what blows my mind is you did all those key changes, like, seamlessly.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
It helped that I found a MIDI so I could just listen to
it.
Oh,
good, yeah.
But
yeah,
a lot of the time, it wasn't as good as just trying to pretend like, sure, I knew what it was doing from, yeah, listening to the song. It was, yeah, it was a
Michael
lot.
Michael McDonald is shaking.
Yeah.
I also added 2 Michael McDonalds on lead because it wasn't enough just the one.
You got to have 2.
And I did not bother to match them to each other. They were very different
needs.
After I spent about 4 hours, I was like, how good does this need to be?
It sounds like a church choir caroling. It's right. Fantastic.
Also, a real practice in humility, standing in front of a microphone, just going, ho, 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 ho. Those are the ones that fucked me up so bad.
The deep ones are the ones that made me laugh every time I just heard.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't run out of breath.
I was trying to think, what noise would Michael McDonald make if he was singing a cappella? Because it's like, right? He's not gonna be like, boom, bang, boom, boom.
It sounds like Santa Claus laughing.
That's what I'm saying. He's Santa.
I think out of his Doobie Brothers 1722 before they had electricity.
There you go. There you go.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys.
You punched it up.
Woohoo!
Well done.
I did the undoneable. That's not a word.
No, it's not.
Speaking of unsomethingables,
sure.
You can't punch this.
Dan, our guest of honor, what is your unpunchable jam?
Well, my first unpunchable that I thought of was Little Help from My Friends, mm-hmm, by Ringo, not by, you know,
which
Joe
Cocker.
Not by his friends.
My dad is the biggest Beatles aficionado you will ever meet in your life.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. You can ask me anything. I know.
He'll know every single thing about
me. But anyway.
Name them.
But,
Craigerson.
Paul Shit. What's the guy's
name? Paul Shit is one of them.
Yeah. But I had to switch over to Yes, Owner of a Lonely Heart. Because Owner of a Lonely Heart, it's like, every 12 seconds, there's some amazing new thing,
yep,
for the entire song, and then it fades out, and you go, oh, I gotta hear that again.
I don't know that I know that song.
Oh,
I'll
do.
Have to listen to it.
Owner of a lonely heart, much better than an owner of a lonely heart. You know it.
Sure, maybe.
Yeah, well, check
Brados
it out. Check it out sometime.
Bully me, please.
Check
You're
it
getting
out
the bully Brados.
I think of it as the perfect single.
It's a great tune.
Yeah.
It's a really good song. You
I'm
would love
to
it,
hear
Demi.
That. I'm sure I would.
You gave Demi a new song.
There you go.
I love listening to new music.
Well, I was a little pissed because he already picked Peg, which I would have said.
It's a perfect song.
First he said Peg, goddamn it, and then he was like, okay, God only knows. And I was like, Demi also chose that.
I hate this guy.
Demi, what's your unpunchable jam?
Well, I didn't get a chance to look up a song from this era,
okay,
so I'm going to cheat a little bit.
Yep.
But this song came out 1978.
Nine. Yeah, well, Kenny Loggins is 8. 79 Doobies.
Okay. A year before Hotel California came out. Hotel California is not my pick.
Okay, good.
But Arctic Monkeys just released a new song that is like if Hotel California was made in space.
Oh, no.
And it's called 4 out of 5, and it's literally about a hotel on the moon. And it is a great song, and it sounds a lot like if Hotel California was recorded today, and I think that is going to be my pick.
Nice.
Wow.
It's called 4 out of 5.
I got to hear it.
Yeah,
although in
too.
Premise, it does not sound good.
No, I know. In premise, I described it in a very terrible way, but it really...
Oh, like a hotel on the moon. Okay, I don't know if that's for me.
By monkeys in the Arctic.
Yeah. They're globetrotting, really. It's very spacey, and it feels like... I mean, the music video also does a great take on it, but it's essentially... It feels like if Hotel California was written about the hotel from The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, like, claustrophobic and...
Upsetting.
Yes, but
in
a good way.
Which is what I like
way.
When I listen to music.
I really love to be upset.
Who
when
doesn't?
I to it.
Yeah, Michael McDonald clearly does.
Yeah. He's telling us this weird story. But it's literally just about a hotel as if it were on the moon, but it's written in this very weird Kubrickian way, and it feels like it is just sort of reverberating on itself, and it gets to the end of the song, and it's just like all of the layers come back in, and it just feels very, like, paranoia inducing, and then it just clears up out of nowhere.
And what year did that get released?
This was 2018.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's a very new song.
Cool.
It's off their new album. But there's one part of it where he says something that's just like, I can raise you up another semitone, and then this, like, sound comes in that sounds a lot like the Beatles on... I'm trying to think of what song.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
I think that's the one, yeah. And it sounds exactly like that, so it just reminds me of this era in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But
that's
yeah.
cool. That's cool. They're still making music that references this, because I know a lot of people don't listen to anything pre-1982.
Sure.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
and they're missing out.
Couldn't
am
be
I
me.
Right, Dad? They were, am I right?
I
right.
only listened to disco in this one song.
I know, Dad, you're in a
Well, I also went to 79, just thinking that was the premise of your show.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And it was like, disco, 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 disco. What a Fool Believes. Disco, disco, disco. I just went, I got to go to another era.
I really fucked up by not just picking another disco song.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, well. I think Sorry, you think I Will Survive.
I don't think I can find a disco song that is unpunchable.
I would say just by I Will definition. Survive is unpunchable.
Maybe so.
Premise-wise, lyric-wise, music-wise, singing-wise, performance-wise. Oh, boy, that's a good one.
Sure.
Not what I'm choosing.
Except it's disco. Sorry.
We will not get along.
Yeah, okay. No. That's okay.
You're lucky we're at the end of the show.
Generational gap.
Yeah, our generation loved disco.
We'll agree to disagree, except I'm right.
Fair.
I'm choosing a song. I think it was only fitting. Dad, you did this episode. Father's Day is coming up. I wanted to choose a song that you like and potentially showed me. I actually don't know if you did, but probably did. And that has incredible harmonies, like this tune.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who it's by?
Beach Boys?
Close. The other one.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
That's the one. Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And
the other Beach Boys.
The other Beach Boys.
The other harmony band.
And I'm choosing Helplessly Hoping.
Ah.
I just think that is just a perfect little tune.
Yep.
Helplessly Helping?
Hoping.
Oh, Hoping.
It was used in Annihilation. It was kind of the premise song in all the flashback scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's a little known fact.
Oh, yeah.
When Mama Cass from Mamas and Papas invited Crosby and Nash, Crosby and Stills were over. They hung out. They were Laurel Canyon people.
Uh-huh.
They invited Graham Nash. He's in the Hollies coming over from England. And they invited him over to hang because that was the place he hung, is Mama Cass.
Yeah.
That's when they met, those three guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Mama Cass brought them together.
She brought them together. And there's a dispute between Crosby, Stills, and Nash as to where the first time they sang together. One said it was on the lawn at Mama Cass's house, and one says it was in Joni Mitchell's kitchen.
Both in Laurel Canyon, though.
Both in Laurel Canyon. Either way, Helplessly Hoping was a song that Stephen and David Crosby were singing just to show just this new song. And Nash said, could you play it again? Okay. And then he added a harmony on the third time.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the...
moment.
That was the moment. And they said, fuck it. We're quitting the Byrds, a Buffalo Springfield. And I think those bands were broken up already. But he quit the Hollies based on that moment, on that song.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
When did Young come in?
Not till later. What happened is Stephen Stills played virtually all the instruments on the first album.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, almost everything. They call him Captain Many Hands. he played the Hammond organ. He played virtually everything but the drums. Dallas Taylor played the drums. And so when they played live, they needed another good lead guitar player.
Uh-huh.
And so Young and Stills were in Buffalo Springfield together. And he said, do you want to join this band? And he said, can I be an equal songwriter? They said, hell yeah. And he joined the band.
Just like in Mad Men.
But he kind of came and went a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of ego.
Yeah. He and Stills fought like cats and dogs.
Aren't they both? Isn't Neil Young like a tiny man?
No, I don't think so.
I think I'm thinking of Van Morrison. He's a tiny man.
He's
you're thinking of Randy Newman.
Oh, no, he's a big man.
Yeah, he's a big man who writes
Randy
about
Newman's
tiny
songs.
Men. Yeah.
Dad, didn't you tell me? Sorry, last sidebar before we end this.
We're at the end of the show. This is all sidebar.
Yeah, it's all sidebar.
You told me that he listened to, he always did Short People recently.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's too bad I wasn't on that episode because you parodied that for a commercial jingle?
Yeah, when I was still living in Seattle before I moved to LA, I did a spec commercial for Rainier Beer where it was exactly Short People, and I played all the instruments, including the drums. And I did all the vocals.
And you did a Randy Newman impression.
I did the Randy Newman. I did the whole song exactly like the record.
Oh,
and then I sent in a cassette to try to have them. And that's before I realized you didn't. They'll think of the concept and you just do the music to their concept.
So you came up with the idea.
I came up with the concept and tried to get Rainier Beer to buy it. And they went, yeah.
They didn't take it.
We don't take unsolicited ideas.
I would kill to hear that.
I'd love
tape.
To find it someday.
Oh, man,
that's
good. So funny.
It's good. I was like your age.
Dad, do you have anything you want to promote or people to find you somewhere or to look? I don't know, anything.
Space Jam commercials you want to talk about.
You don't use social media other than Facebook, and that's creepy. No one's going
to
find
that. No, I don't need to promote, but thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Well, my dad's tight, so, you know, just know that.
Just know that.
Thank you very much for doing this, Dad.
My
it's
pleasure.
Really
this
fun.
This was a blast.
It is really fun.
And also, you know so much.
Yeah, it's nice to have someone who can, like, talk about the music aside from being like, this is crazy.
Exactly.
Well, you're also picking a song from before you were born when I was living. So
right.
It helps.
Only 10 years, though.
That's true.
Like 30 years for Demi. He's a baby. But
right.
10 years for me.
This is like, what, 2 years after Rugrats just got big?
Yeah, right.
This is around that period.
Yes. Yes, thank you for not picking a 2018 song.
No, you're welcome.
You gotta punch up I Got a Feeling by Black Eyed Peas.
How could you?
If you want to follow us and see our content, a picture of my dad, you can follow us at Punch Up the Jam on Instagram, on Twitter.
Yep.
If you have song suggestions of songs you want us to punch up,
email us, punchupthejam@gmail.com.
If you'll follow me, I'm at Miel Monster Miel.
You want to follow me? I'm at Electro Lemon or at Shaq.
Maybe. Wait, what?
I stole his Twitter. Long story.
That's on the next episode.
Yep.
Because you have to tune in. And that's all we have for you this week.
Yeah. So thank you all so much for coming to the show.
Bye, bitch.
Bye. Right. Okay.
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.